Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode number 91 of the Pika Serenity podcast. And we have some big news this week. So we are actually going to be skipping over our regular like opening segments, talking about how our clears have been going, talking about hot fixes. There's like one really important one that we might get to at the end of the episode. But 9.2 was officially announced this week. We speculated about it last week. And we got a lot of information about it this week, including information about tier sets, the new zone, the raid release schedule, which is different than it's been since probably Wrath of the Lich King. And we got a lot to talk about.
We do, we do. It's been Blizzard put out an almost 11-minute video, giving a bunch of sort of overview. I would say that if you only care about the raid, about 9 minutes of that video was absolutely worthless, and the last 2 minutes are where they got good. But tons of information just about the new zone. They did the Blizzard thing where they talked a lot about the style, the art, the like what is the word I'm looking for? Like the immersion or the feel of the zone. So it looks interesting. Weirdly enough, it reminds me a little bit of Destiny zones, I'll say. Very like square, like or spherical things just sort of plopped in the world. I don't know, it's a new zone, a lot of new models, so it looks cool. But I think we have sort of a couple of to give like a brief overview of what they talked about, right? And then we'll sort of dive into like some of the details here. They talked, of course, about the new zone. It's Xerath Mortis. There is the first ones are there. It's essentially where the world was created, or the universe as we know it. So you get to meet a lot of interesting things there. The Enlightened are basically the new faction that you'll get to sort of interact with over the course of sort of the story there and your time there. There's also an interesting thing they added, which we'll dive into more story-wise, but you essentially don't understand like the language when you first get there. So there's like a building of like understanding more and more about the world through like learning more about what these new creatures are talking about. New raid, class tier sets return, which I think is the first thing we'll dive into, and just, you know, a bunch of other, I think, minor stuff. But the new zone, I think, is going to be the big focus. I think the cool thing is the new enemies or just models seem really cool. They're almost like, I don't know, like polygons. They're sort of stitched together by some sort of energy. They sort of like walk around. They look kind of interesting. So
some of them look like some of the old like robot chicken and robot squirrel models from Classic, but like spruced up and with a much more future rather than, you know, retro steampunk vibe.
Exactly. So I think without further ado, I think the big thing we wanted to start with was tier sets, and they are making a return in the raid. And to be fair, making a return in PvP and Mythic Plus also, at least in the way you acquire them. Yes. So real quick, I mean, essentially they just released that tier sets are coming back. It'll be the similar way of a 2 and a 4 piece bonus. You would expect to see 5 overall pieces of gear where you can equip, you know, 2 or 4 of them.
Legion was six. Yeah.
Oh, it was six. I remember the original.
And that might have been partially because of the presence of legendaries, but I expect we'll see something similar here.
Okay. That'll be nice. So you'll get to mix and match a little bit in terms of what you'll use piece wise. They're coming back. The only really no real news about set bonuses and things like that, other than they're going to keep to the similar philosophy they had with original tier sets, which is, you know, power increases or potentially, you know, some spec changing interactions. Interesting thing, though, that they did add is that traditionally tier sets were only available through the raid. So they dropped from different raid bosses. What they said is that they will now be, you'll be able to acquire them from PvP and Mythic Plus, but through your box at the end of the week. So basically, you'd assume one of the items that your box can drop at the end of the week could contain a tier set piece, which will be nice for those, you know, I guess people who only interact with those two systems that traditionally, you know, would never get to see tier pieces without having to raid. So
Something about that, like The Mythic Plus row in the box in particular is known for being super high variance because there's just so many items you can get. Mm-hmm. Because these items never came from keys, like they're basically like a separate loot table. I'm really curious what the rate's going to be, because they're going to have the complete freedom to be like, you know, if you complete this, you know, maybe Magical Christmas Land, and this is purely hypothetical, but they could say, you know, if you complete 10 keys, you're guaranteed to get a tier piece in your three options. It's going to be one of the three. So if you do like 10 twos, it may be the minimum item level, but you'll be guaranteed a tier piece. That would be cool. That would mean that you would be, you know, pretty likely to complete your tier set through only Mythic Plus within the first like 6 weeks.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It'd be interesting to see they do that. I would also like to see, though, that to your point that you had, I would almost like to see them put a minimum key level, do it to 10, right? Because I think if you're going to get a tier piece, it makes sense to do like to guarantee it at the max number that they'll track, but also put like, I'd say a little bit of a threshold in, like you have to complete all 10s.
Yeah.
At level, like you have to complete 10 level 10s at least,
or maybe get that it's tier, like, so only slots that are at least this minimum eye level threshold are eligible to be tier pieces.
Yeah, because so, like, I think to that point that potentially limits the need for raiders.
The raiders won't be doing 10 twos every week to try and get that one tier piece. Yeah,
exactly. And that's sort of the one thing that I would want to guard against doing this, is that there would be that expectation that, I mean, to be fair, I don't think either of us are at a point in our rating, like, I guess, level, right, that we need to do this. But the idea of, like, forcing, like, the top 100 guilds to, like, farm Mythic Plus out, I guess they're going to do it anyway. But as that cascades down into, like, lower level guilds having, like, the expectation that, oh, you have to get your 10 Mythic Plus keys done this week to get a tier set bonus, just seems,
I really am not. I mean, I guess the nice thing is that since it is something from the box, you know, if you are doing raid as well, you know, you can only get one tier piece from the box. If it's going to come from Mythic Plus, it's fine. If it's going to come from PvP, that's fine. But it could also come from the raid on that raid row. So I'm really curious to see what they'll do with that. If they'll be like, you know, I would really appreciate if they like guarantee a tier piece on each row. If you like max out the row, you will have a tier piece option.
Yeah,
because that's really going to mean that there's not a huge, like, there's still some benefit to doing multiple forms of content, because you might get a duplicate tier piece.
Right.
And the more forms of content you do, the lower chances you get all duplicates.
Exactly.
But it's way less impactful than trying to max out all 9 slots for the maximum chances of getting a tier piece.
Yeah. I agree. I will say, though, that I hated their announcement of this. I hated the person that said, I don't hate the person that said it, but I dislike the words that they use, which was, I'm going to quote this because I wrote this down and I tweeted this because I was so upset about it at the time, which was, "We know players have been waiting a long time for the return of tier sets, and as devs, we have too," which to me is just like, you are making the game. Why are you waiting for the return of tier sets? Like, you have the ability to put them in because you are making the game. Like, I don't want you to be excited about this. Like, and I don't, to be fair, as a player, I personally, like, I know people are like, it'll be cool to have tier sets back. I also agree it'll be cool, but I'm not excited. Like, they tore out this system at the end of Legion, right? And input in BFA Azerite armor, which was like hands down the worst system. They then made it worse with corruption, and then they made it even worse this time with, like, what did we even have the first tier
sets?
Yeah,
we didn't have anything in Castle Nathria.
Oh, cool. So nothing to Domination Saga. It's like,
what we expected, what I expected this expansion. So if you look back at Legion, which is the last expansion that we had tier sets, and I believe WoD was also like this. The first tier didn't have tier pieces. So Emerald Nightmare didn't have tier pieces. And then the next tier was the introduction of tier sets. And that's what I expected here, and I think that's what a lot of people had expected, because we were told during Shadowlands beta that there would be tier sets after the first tier. A lot of people understood that to mean in the second tier, like me, which then we got domination sets, which were not, they're not tier sets. They're not. The acquisition rate, like I did the math, the acquisition rate is actually similar to what tier sets would be with no additional bad luck protection, which sucks. Which is why we're going to talk some. They've got some bad luck protection in the works for these, in addition to them coming from the vault. But they also actually, I'm happy that we're getting these back. I'm more frustrated that it took this long, more frustrated that it felt like domination sets were like, you know, we're last needed. Minute bait and switch in Sanctum. But I'm happy that we're going to have them back. I also am happy that they confirmed in one of the interviews that these tier sets are going to be class abilities. They're going to modify class abilities or, you know, spec abilities. They're going to modify your existing button. So we're not getting tier sets that are domination sets.
Yeah.
You know, we're getting actual tier sets mechanically as well as aesthetically.
Yeah. Which I think is cool. I think that just brings it back. And like I said, I'm on board with it. I'm happy. I just, that line of like, the devs want them back too, or we're excited too. I'm just like, come on. Like, you had the power to bring this back in whenever you wanted. But I think the other, so like you mentioned, I think real quick about the catch up mechanic, right? So they actually came out up in front of this, right? And basically announced the way that they're thinking about doing the catch up mechanic, which essentially is, at a certain point after Eternity's End is released, so not, this won't be live as the new raid comes out, but at a certain point afterwards, you'll start to unlock a currency or earn a new currency. And you can basically use that currency to buy tier set pieces. And the currency can also be transferred, I guess, between alts at some point, right? Because they talk about being able to make new characters and catch them up quickly.
I'm thinking, so here's my headcanon for this. We have no details. This is purely hypothetical once again. I'm thinking this is going to be something like EQD, that you're going to, like, the community is going to, or something like the Mage Tower, right? Where the community is going to unlock this thing in like a month into the tier just by doing stuff in the new zone.
Yeah.
And it's going to be like a soft time gate kind of thing, where just, you know, the community is going to make progress, we're going to learn the language or whatever, and then it's going to unlock the currency and the vendor for everybody, including all your alts. So
yeah, which is not, I mean, it's nice. Like, I think the only, like, the funny thing is I think the biggest thing with them always, like, I think the sentiment that I've had with Blizzard for a while now is that they always eventually will patch something in that makes it easier to catch up. But it always feels like that patch happens
too
like
late,
4 or 5 months too late. Like, where like, if I were to get my friends to get back into it, or if I wanted to jump back in on like a new character, there's like this, all right, I got to wait for the 0.15 patch, right? Or like the 0.5 patch, right? To actually start that catch up. And if it's like, to be fair, like, I don't, like, I'm still going to do all the content on my main. I'm still going to try and push and get it done first. So like, I'm not just going to wait 4 weeks or 6 weeks or whatever it is till the catch-up mechanics in and then do everything. Like,
right. I do think it is actually good just for morale in general to know that this, you know, catch-up, this vendor is on the horizon, because it means, you know, if you get unlucky and you're just not getting your 4-piece bonus, you're still going to know that, like, okay, in 2 weeks, I'm going to be able to just go to the vendor and buy it. You know, there's a limit on how unlucky you can be.
Yeah, exactly. Which is, I guess, is a nice thing for people. It'll be interesting to see how this sort of plays out. Them being a little bit more forward with these sort of catch up systems, and the biggest thing that I'll say is around this is, I am very interested to see how the community handles them making changes to these announcements, because, like, this all sounds great right on paper, and I feel like there's going to be a point in time where, like, this becomes a, like, while we said this, we're not going to be able to do it, right? Or while we said it this way, you know, 4 or 5 weeks ago after playing and doing these iterations, it's going to be different. So, like, as we go through all these announcements, that's sort of in the back of my mind about, like, okay, people like this today. When it's on paper, how are they going to like it when it's in the game and you can play around with it? So
yeah, I feel like the one thing, the, like, one really big wild card for me in terms of tier sets is the timeline for this bad luck protection thing. I think it's going to go across really well if it's something like somewhat organic, where, you know, like I said, the IQD kind of thing, or if it's a rep grind, and once you get to the, you know, revered or whatever on your first character, then it's an account wide unlock and all of your characters can use the vendor. Mm-hmm. That will go over fine. If it's just like arbitrarily, you know, 6 weeks into the patch, they turn it on. Yeah. I don't think it's going to come across as well. But it's so easy for them to time gate stuff like in a more organic fashion, just like, again, referring back to the Broken Shore stuff.
Yeah.
How long was it before we could even do the Mage Tower stuff after the patch release? It was like 6 or 8 weeks because we just had to do the quests, the weekly quests.
Yeah, you had to grind it out, yeah.
And like, if they do that, it's going to, I think, go across a lot better than just, oh, we turned it on now.
Yeah. Yeah, and the Mage Tower was nice because I think that was account-wide, right? As soon as you unlocked it on one character.
Right? So it was like a kind of IQD kind of thing. Yeah. The community had to like build the buildings.
That's right. Yeah. And then once they were built for everybody at that point. Not just,
yeah. And they were like region wide.
Yeah.
Okay. And then there was like the player, like individual character mount quests that you had to do. But yeah, like that kind of, you know, region wide unlock, I think would be the best way for them to handle this, you know?
Yeah. But for sure.
We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how it goes. So the other thing they announced, so sticking with gear, is legendaries and the fact that you'll now be able to equip two legendaries on your character. With one of those being
restrictions.
Yeah, a couple of restrictions here. So the and just legendary changes in general. So the double legendary restriction is essentially you can equip one Covenant specific legendary and then one other legendary. So the two, one has to be your Covenant specific one, and then the second legendary can be whatever you want. Which again makes it a hit or miss. You're either happy or not so happy about the change.
I imagine Mistweaver is very happy about that because you get to use the Fallen Order legendary as well as Ancient Teachings of the Monastery.
Yeah, some other, yeah. If it's even that one, right? Like there's talk of like Clouded Focus maybe being better. Just because of the way that Vivify and then sort of buffing that up will work. But yeah, I mean, to be fair, like it from a Mistweaver perspective, particularly if you're Venthyr, you're happy because your Covenant specific legendary, very good. There's also an interesting thing, even if you're Kyrian and if you take CTA, Call to Arms, that legendary, and if you pair it with Invoker's Delight, if it will proc the haste buff. So based on like using your Covenant ability, getting a Celestial for 12 seconds, if you get the haste buff from Invoker's Delight on that.
That's actually something that I haven't done any math on, but I was wondering about that for Brewmaster as well. Because the Call to Arms legendary for Kyrian, you know, we're playing Mechanicos. We're getting, you know, a shorter cooldown on that. So if you're getting this haste buff every, you know, minute, and it lasts for like 25 seconds... Mm-hmm. Like Brewmaster is not a huge fan of haste, but with that level of haste, like it's not like Bloodlust is bad.
Yeah,
is good for us. You give us a Bloodlust every minute, and like it's still good. It's just a question of how good. But there's a couple different things that we might like. Night Fae stands to gain a lot from this as well for Brewmaster. The Night Fae legendary is pretty good. And this will let you do the Night Fae legendary plus the Charred Passions one. Venthyr is in a weird spot. I'm gonna just like throw out there that the numbers that Mithy has been doing some digging on the numbers for Fallen Order, because they were looking at logs from Mythic Plus and the numbers looked way higher than they were expecting. So there's a distinct possibility that there is some kind of sim issue that we didn't catch, because it was so hard to test Covenants because of all of the restrictions. In order to test a Venthyr build on PTR, you had to actually like do the swap to Venthyr and do the quests for it. So I didn't do that, but I may be testing out some Venthyr stuff in the near future because of, you know, the logs indicating that there's some mismatch between what our sims are saying and what is actually happening. So Venthyr, like, I'm not going to say it won't happen. It could happen.
Oh, the real loser here,
the real loser here is Necrolord for Brewmaster, because the legendary effect cannot happen while you have Bone Dust Brew active on the target. And we have Bone Dust Brew active on the target twice as much as every other spec. So
gotcha.
We have it up for 8 seconds out of every 30, which just cuts it, like cuts the effective proc rate in almost half.
Yeah.
So it's really, sorry, Necrolords, you're probably not going to this one unless they fix a legendary.
Yeah. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see how this plays itself out. I think it'll be fun. I think this is too the only way they could have done it without having massive just balance issues, right? With like being able to equip two of any legendary you wanted, ends up the combinations at that point become extremely difficult to keep to keep under control, right?
So I do think that this misses some of the fun of two legendaries in Legion, where you could equip any two legendary. And for a lot of specs, you did end up just equipping the same two for literally everything. Yeah. But then there were also specs like Brewmaster, where you had like one that was kind of a default legendary that you pretty much always used. And then that second slot kind of became this utility slot. And there was a default one if there wasn't anything that was particularly good.
Uh-huh.
But then there were four or five other legendaries that you could play situationally for different fights, for different keys, that just like it gave you extra flexibility and this extra interesting thing to engage with on your character sheet that this implementation of Covenant Legendary plus other legendary really doesn't.
Gotcha. Yeah, I mean, I don't Legion legend. People always talk about that and like as a Mistweaver.
I mean, I know Mistweaver, you wore two generic legendaries for the whole expansion.
Yeah, for the entire time. So it's like, yeah. But no, I mean, I think it'll be interesting to see how this one plays out. But this is cool that, I mean, we knew we're getting two. This is probably not what people thought they meant when they said we're getting two, but I understand why they'll do it this way.
Yeah.
Just because in terms of balance,
the other combinatorics that are going on with this expansion, with how many different combinations there are between all the different soul binds, which I don't know if we're going to touch on that separately later. They're not extended. Yep. There's no more soul bind stuff. Soul binds are capped as are soul binds, conduits, covenants. Just there's so many other combinations of things that didn't exist in Legion. I'm not really surprised that they limited the legendary flexibility.
Exactly. Yeah, the other thing that came out on legendaries too is that, while I think you mentioned there will be new ranks, so you'll get like, I don't know, probably rank 8 or whatever. The materials to craft those are not going to come from Torghast. So you no longer have to go back to Torghast.
I'm going to have an unpopular opinion here. I want the materials to also come from Torghast. Like to have an option.
Have both.
Yeah, give us, you know, because I would honestly, I would rather do Torghast than the new zone.
Really?
Yeah. I just would really rather not. Like, Porthia and the Maw both sucked so bad that I'm really just kind of resigned to not wanting to do the new zone.
But if it ends up being like
Mechagon, then fine. But
well, it's not going to be like that because the new zone has water like we've never seen before, Evelson.
Yeah, you can walk on it.
Got water you can walk on and see in. It's hilarious. So just on that part of the cinematic where it opened, you know, the first thing I thought about was Sha'afir in MOP. Yeah. That fight. That's the only thing I thought. I was like, so we're back Sha'afir-ing the world. Like, you did this already, guys. Like, you built an entire thing like this. I guess that was an arena, not a full zone. But yeah, that was the water that doesn't look like water, doesn't function like water. You can walk on it. Ugh. That's what we're pushing on this new zone, guys. You got some work to do. But yeah, so that's on the double legendaries. I think the other thing too is you will unlock this through a quest or through like part of the new zone. So you have to do part of the new zone to unlock the ability to equip two legendaries. And that unlock though appears to be account wide.
Right.
So another sort of account wide thing, which is like, you know, I think that's the one thing that Blizzard, it's weird because I don't know if this, since Legion, I think this has been the case, that it's been so much harder to maintain alts, like at least to like play alts at a power that you would expect, right? Like, because previous to Legion, like, what did you need? You basically just need to gear. You just need to get gear, right? Like, there wasn't another system to put time into. It was just like, get gear. So
right, but then like, yeah, in Legion, you needed to get gear, you needed to get artifact power, you needed to get your order hall research done so that you could equip your second legendary, because that was the bottom, like the end, the final trait in that tree was getting your second legendary.
Yeah. So I mean, I think in that regard, and that's during Legion, that was always my point of like, I only ever played my monk because I was like, anytime I'm getting artifact power not on my monk, I feel like my monk is falling that much further behind. Like, even though I think I was like one of the, like, I was the first person to hit 52, which was like the first cap in my guild, in terms of like artifact power, but like there was still that sort of idea of like, I can't do anything other than play my monk to keep that sort of grind going. So it'll be interesting to see how they do this whole account wide catch up stuff. But legendaries, you get to equip two of them. Some people are excited, other people probably not as excited. So
yeah, I'm tentatively, like, I'm curious if we're going to see tuning changes, like, because there are a couple of legendaries that I feel like need some love in order to make this make sense. Cough, Necrolord.
Yeah. But,
yeah. Real quick, before we move on to raid stuff, I have the images of the tier sets pulled up, and I'm going
to... Oh, nice.
Pull that up for us.
I like them.
I like the concept art more, I will say. The concept art is fucking cool. The actual art doesn't quite live up to the concept art.
Yeah.
But it's still good. The monk belt, this is like the first like really like clearly cloth kind of sash that we've gotten for monk, that so that's gonna be cool. I'm looking forward to that bit of transmog. The rest of it I can kind of like skip. I'm not super into it, but it's far from the worst monk set that we've gotten, I'll say that.
Yeah, I think it's the first time they did a nice bit of like the cloth woven into leather feel for monks, right? Like, because even like you mentioned the sash, but even like the foot wraps kind of look like wraps, maybe reinforced with some leather. The chest piece has some like linen sort of feel to it. I think it looks cool. I don't know the other also, sets though. I don't know,
some the helmet
really generic.
The helmet is
no helming it. The horns,
we've got evoked, we've got Niazao horns, we had our Zuan set.
True.
Now we've got our Niazao set, and I think there was a Yulon set too, wasn't there? I don't remember.
There might have. Was the Yulon set the one with like you had the tail on the helmet, the green one? That was in like Blackrock Depths or something.
Yeah, Blackrock Foundry.
Yeah.
But yeah, set looks kind of neat. Probably like only using the sash from it, but set looks kind of neat.
Yeah.
A lot better than the Uldir sets. Like the Uldir sets, all time low.
Yeah, no, I agree. No, so they did. The art does look. I mean, art I think always looks good. So, for this one. So,
yeah.
All right. So I think then. I think next section we want to talk a little bit about the raid stuff, which is interesting. It was only ever like the final like 30 seconds of the overall video, but they did come out with a little bit more in some of the interviews that followed. So. I think so we are getting a new raid. It looks to be what, like 10 or 11 bosses, I think.
It is 11 bosses.
11. So this will be the largest one this expansion. There were two back-to-back 10 boss raids. So this will be 11, one additional. The Jailer is, of course, the final boss, Zuval, also AKA Zuval. And we do get to fight Anduin in it. And Anduin looks to be the 8th boss of the instance. And the only reason we know this, Emelson, is because of the way they're sort of dripping out the story. So this is sort of, I think you mentioned it, this is the first time they've done this since Wrath, right? With ICC, actually, I think was the last time they did this. And basically what's going to happen is the first week that the raid opens, which isn't the first week of the patch, but the first week the raid opens, you'll only be able to kill up to Anduin, who is the eighth boss. At that point, you are done for the week. And then the following week, when Mythic opens, really the second week of Heroic, you'll be able to complete the whole raid, kill Zuval, all 11 bosses will be open. And basically the way that they're saying this, why they're doing this is sort of for story and the idea that there is a story beat that I guess occurs as you kill Anduin, plus maybe the zone around it, like that zone-like story is sort of feeding into this. So what do you think?
Okay, so totally disconnected from the story stuff. I'm actually kind of a fan because this is less prep for me to get done the first week. For the first week, I have to. So, like with a typical raid release, I have to have strategy prepped for every boss in the instance.
Yeah,
and the last few bosses are the ones that take the most prep because they're the most involved and complicated. So this basically means that I'm going to get to do part of that prep for the first week and then the second part of it for the second week. And Mythic, of course, like the level I raid at, we're going to be going through three or four bosses the first week. So it's significantly less to prep than just like a 12 boss Heroic instance.
Yeah.
Because the last few bosses of Heroic do tend to be more difficult than the first few bosses of Mythic.
Particularly like Sylvanas this tier, where like
Sylvanas is a great example.
It was like learning, like even Denathrys learning all the timings for phase two and phase three, right? With your raid was not fun. I'll say even on Heroic week. So yeah, I mean, I don't think I have an opinion. I mean, I think my biggest
I don't know if you mentioned, to be clear to everybody, Mythic and the last three of Heroic come out the same week.
Yeah.
So there's no, like, Mythic still comes out the week after Heroic, but the last three of Heroic also come out that week. So that does have some implications for people that are, like me, in lower ranked guilds. Like, we're probably going to do Heroic again and go through the last three before stepping foot into Mythic. Yeah. Depends on the relative tuning. I have the benefit of raiding on the weekend. So I get to see, you know, if other people are like, oh, yeah, the first three bosses of this instance are a complete pushover, then we'll go and do those and then do Heroic.
Right.
But if they're not, then we'll go and do Heroic first.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, the way that it works. Yeah. So they'll Mythic and all of Heroic sort of, or the final three of Heroic both release the same week. So, yeah, I mean, I don't think it matters. Like, I think for us, like for where we raid at, right, it ends up probably adding an extra week just in terms of like overall progression at the end of the day, because like we'll get less Mythic bosses down the first week of Mythic than we traditionally would. We'll spend some time on new bosses in Heroic. So we'll see how that sort of plays out in what we do. You also have just generally less item level gear with, you know, assuming that the final handful of bosses drop higher item level gear, just in general. Your item level will be somewhat lower going into Mythic than it traditionally would be from those couple of pieces of gear. So, look, changing it up, always interesting. Like we've mentioned, they haven't really done this since ICC when they had like the wings unlock at certain time. Was it wings or like the final?
It was there were like the four wings or the three wings. You had your Unholy Wing, your Frost Wing, and your blood wing.
Blood, yeah.
And then the final like encounter, and then they unlocked, you know, one at a time.
Yeah. So they haven't done it since ICC, so we'll see how this does. I mean, from a story perspective, I mean, they're doing this, it sounds like primarily the reasoning they're giving is like story reasons. So I think we just take it at face value and say, hey, that's probably the reason they're doing it.
Especially since they're not actually extending the, like, it's not like they're releasing Mythic a week later either.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's really not going to be like, there's basically one group that this meaningfully impacts in any way, and that is the people that raided the level that we do. Like the world first raiders, it doesn't matter. They're going to do their splits on Heroic week. They're going to clear some Mythic bosses. They're going to do their splits on Mythic week. They're going to finish the raid. The people that raid at a lower level than us probably aren't clearing all of Heroic the first week anyway. So they're going to get through the first eight. And then, you know, call it a week and come back for the last three next week.
Yeah.
And then basically, so the people like me and you are going to clear the first eight in Heroic week and then come back and clear, like, have to spend some more time learning the last three during what would normally be Mythic week.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And like, yes, that's what I'm saying, is it probably just lowers our for like mythic week one kills, right? So rather than going like three or four deep on mythic in the first week, we'll might only get like one or two, depending on how the final three are tuned up, right? So but yeah, so it'll be, I mean, I'm excited to see this change. I don't know if I care too much about the story, right? And so I think that's the problem, what, is that like
the lore corner.
Dude, it's been a struggle. We'll have to bring that back when like the whole new story ends up and I'll actually read all the quests and stuff like that. But yeah, it's just
anomaly reading quests. What?
I just don't, I don't care about Anduin as a character. Cause like, so to me, and this is the problem, is like Anduin will always be some weird little kid model that like sat on the throne for like all of Classic, right? That's sort of who Anduin is to me. So I have this weird, like, because I didn't know who Varian Rin was for the longest time. Like, like I really didn't understand who he was in context of the story until he died at the start of Legion. And I was like, oh, that's who that is. Yeah. Like, I'm terrible with understanding characters because, like, most of the way that I look at the game is, like, to me, Anixia is still around. Like, Jaina Prester? Like, that was her name?
Yeah.
Her human form? So like to me, that's the story I get and I understand that. I don't get the new stuff, but I mean, for story people, this is cool. I think it definitely will alleviate the issue that we ran into even in this raid, where like the zone of Korthia had story beats that happened in the chronology before like the end of the raid, and the end of the raid happened, and like there was like just confusion about what was going on.
Right. You would kill Sylvanas. And then the cutscene would play, and you wouldn't get to the relevant part in the campaign quest in Korthia for another 6 weeks.
Right, exactly.
So
it's just like a timing thing. So I get why they do it. It's just, I don't know. When I was typing up the notes here, I also had a point here to make. It'd be like, this is the reason that like ever since MOP, like raiding has gone downhill, or like this has gone downhill, because they try so hard to like integrate story into everything, and like, they started doing that in MOP, and like it has become more and more tightly coupled, and you end up with situations like this. But I mean, to be fair, it means I only have to kill 8 bosses the first week, right? Like that's the biggest impact.
Yeah. That's just upside to me.
Yeah.
I that sounds like a chill first raid week. You know, we go in, we're gonna get through the first 8. I don't have to prep for all 11. You know, I can do my Anduin prep and then Rizaval the following week.
Yeah. So question, do you think we kill Anduin?
No, absolutely no chance.
Blizzard needs to like man up and like kill a main character. Like
we have that comic, right, from Legion that showed old man Anduin and Velen on the spaceship.
If it didn't happen in game and in a cutscene, I have no idea.
Yeah, there was this comic that came out around the end of Legion, a really short thing on the WoW website, but it had Velen and an old Anduin on a spaceship, like a Draenei spaceship. So that hasn't happened yet. So unless they're retconning it, we know he's not going to die.
Or it could be just one reality of multiple realities.
So the other thing is that we're supposed to, from reading the stuff that they put out about this, I think we're supposed to like learn from Anduin how to resist the domination magic.
Yeah.
Resist domination magic, which, sorry, domination magic is a dumb name.
I hated that. I hated it every time they said it in the trailer or whatever. It's like, we're going to learn. We'll learn how we don't get dominated and how we free Anduin from domination magic. And they said it for something else. Like there's an Algolon like boss that has been corrupted by the jailer's domination magic. I'm like, what does that even mean?
Whoever like named domination magic needs to not be allowed to name things anymore, because it's a really bad name. I hope they're the same person that named Charred Passions, so we can get a 2-for-1 and they can just never be allowed to name anything ever again.
They're done on the naming team. Yeah. God. Oh, man. So cool. So that's the raid. Should be fun. Raids are always good. Generally. So I guess next up is the new zone. So there wasn't too much posted. I mean, I think we mentioned the majority of the video showed like the art about the new zone and the you know, the type of world it is and how interesting it is. Like I said, very, to me, very Destiny-like vibes in terms of some of the structure, stuff like that. It did look a little varied though. So it opened with like, you're on the water that you can stand on, which they made a big deal about. But it was also like a very like lush, like gardeny, almost like Negrand-like zone with more like gray, less green, but still like similar idea of floating on.
There's also a desert subzone, which automatically means the zone it has to be like at least passable. Like every zone that's got desert in it is at least okay. There's not one that isn't.
What was that zone in?
Give me a counter example. There's
zone in BFA. What was the name of it? I forget the name of it. See, it was so good. Forget the name of it. It was a bad zone. Bad zone.
I did that zone on not every character because that gets old, but I did it on quite a few characters.
Fair enough. In any event, so it looks like they'll be varied. I guess Korthia is somewhat varied, but at least it'll be a brighter Korthia, we'll say. But what they also did release, which I think was nice, is they did release sort of at least screenshots, not much detail, but screenshots and a couple words about the progression system in zone. Yeah. So the progression system is essentially, it's called the Ciphers of the First One, which basically is the idea that which I mentioned earlier, where you slowly learn to translate the language of the, whatever these people are called. I don't know.
The First Ones.
Is it the First? I thought it was a different, unique individual. I guess you're right. The First Ones. You're right.
It is the Cipher of the First Ones.
So yeah, I get it.
We are decoding the Cipher of First Ones.
That's fair. But yeah, so I mean, it's the way that you progress is it looks like you'll get like either points or a currency to add points into this little UI thing. And that UI thing lets you unlock certain things such as double legendaries. The legendary currency, I think, is a part of that, along with the ability to collect tier sets or buy tier sets. Right.
I'm hoping that this is all like part of that progression. Yeah.
Yeah. So it looks like it's at least all sort of built in together, which will be nice. If a lot of this stuff is account wide, at least at the start, it'll be good to know that like, hey, I'll put in a bunch of work on my main and then my alt will catch up where needed or have access to this as we go through it. So, yeah, I mean, I think that's the biggest thing. And then the person, I guess the little automaton-tron thing that you talk to is actually, it looks like GLaDOS. If you've ever played the Portal games, it looks like her eye. A little bit when she's in machine form, not when she's a potato. But yeah, they've sort of released the zone progression, which seems like similar to Korthia, they said, which is like you'll collect currency out in the world by doing quests and killing mobs and things like that. And then you turn that currency in for like buffs to the zone or to unlock certain things. So that is the new zone. I don't know. It'll be a new zone. It'll be a new thing to grind, a new rep to grind. I'm excited because numbers go up and it'll give me something to do for 20 minutes a day, at least to log in and do that. So
I am really hopeful that they learned the lessons from the Maw and from Korthia about what kind of things don't work. Yeah. The Maw just kind of being a miserable place to be at all times. And then Korthia being so bizarrely opaque, like, never really having like there's an element of like figuring out how to do the thing, but when it's not, you know, when it's player power, when it's, you know, conduits and sockets and things that are hidden behind this really like this screen that's, you know, not really practical to figure out on your own, it was frustrating. It was really frustrating.
Yeah, I think Korthia, the whole rift system, and the fact that I will tell you that I didn't really like the one biggest thing is like rifts are only ever discussed in Korthia, but there's a whole rift world in the Maw at large, which I think is like the other thing that they never really talk about, right?
I mean, they put this in. I guarantee you most of the casual players had no idea it existed.
Yeah.
There's the rift portal keystones that you can get. Like, you need to get to tier 3 rep before you can even buy them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nobody, I guarantee it, nobody knew it existed. So there was like, literally they had this zone and they added all of this Rift stuff. And there's actually a bunch of little things in the mall, like that you can go and steal Zoval's chest and things like that, that are in the Rift in the mall. Just can't, like, unless somebody tells you about it, you just,
yeah,
there's no way of finding it, really.
I wouldn't have found it. The only way I knew, the only reason I knew about it was because I wanted the hand mount, the golden hand mount. Yeah. And to do that, there's a bunch of stuff you have to do, like in between the rifts and things like that. So I knew about it from doing that. But like, to be fair, I didn't realize there was like, even doing that much, I didn't realize there was chests you could collect for like a ton of artifact or whatever, codex or relics. Whatever, relic yeah. research. Yeah, yeah. Like I didn't realize those chests existed. And they were like daily because there's like 4 or 5 of them and they give a ton. So. Yeah, yeah, I mean,
I knew about this, but also I didn't care for one thing. And I also didn't bother, or I didn't know how to get into the Rift, except using one of the group stones, which gotcha. We used for the first couple weeks of the tier. We went in as like a guild raid group, used the keystone on top of a rare, killed the rare, did the loop to get the chests, and then, you know, did that basically until people had enough rep to just buy the individual keystones.
Gotcha. Yeah. Yeah. It's you're right. Opaque zone, I think, is a good way to describe Korthia. So hopefully they don't do the same thing. It's maybe a little bit more clear, a little bit more direction there. So
yeah, like Magitar wasn't bad. And neither was
no.
Mechagon was good. And the revamped zones in 8.3 were fine. Like I wasn't, they're not stuff I would like, oh yeah, I'm going to go and do this new zone. But yeah. it was fine. I didn't mind doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I liked Nashashar a lot, actually. But I also like more directed content. Like Mechagon to me was just fill the one big bar. I tried to kill some rares for mounts, but to be fair, it was not sitting there camping them, which I know a bunch of people still enjoy doing. So yeah, a little bit of mix of that stuff would be cool. So, All right, so next section, just a little bit quick updates on essentially existing systems going into this patch. I think you touched on this briefly, but they will basically, Blizzard came out and got in front of both Soulbind trees and renown levels. So in 9.2, there will be no new renown levels. So you're basically going to be capped at, what is it, 80 right now? You won't have to grind that anymore. And the Soulbind trees are not expanding. So while they're doing updates to... Yeah, I think they mentioned in the announcement post updates to like professions, soul binds, and conduits. Those updates seem to be more on the tuning side versus adding new. So it sounds like they're not adding anything new to the soul bind trees, and in turn, no new renown levels to grind. So those are going to be pretty static, which from a story perspective, I get now that the covenants, your individual covenant is of less importance right now in terms of story. Because now we're just all one big group going to attack Zoval, right? We're now together again, being friends or something. So no new plans to those two systems. I didn't see any other. Those would be the two big ones.
Yeah, I mean the other one that is of note that we already mentioned is Torghast. You know, Torghast not being required to get the new legendaries. I think not having it be required is a like strictly good thing.
Yeah.
I would still personally like the option of getting the currency from there, but they have to be really careful about that, because if they make it an option and it ends up being the most efficient option, it's effectively required and people aren't going to like that. So I do understand if they just leave it out entirely. I am hopeful that because of that, we are going to get some more like real dumb shit in Torghast, just like new busted powers for everything. Yeah. Like Brewmaster is honestly the only spec that I have played in Torghast till I actually felt like I could actually reach that like broken level in 5 floors.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is the only one.
Yeah. So yeah, so that is the good news there, is that we won't have to go back, but yeah. It'll be nice that we don't have more renown grinds. I can't.
Yeah, yeah. It means if you invest time right now in maxing out all of your renowns on all of your covenants, then you're done. That's it.
Yeah.
Done. Nothing more to add to that next patch.
Which I might end up doing on my monk just to sort of cap everything out. Actually,
I've been still slowly working on the Necrolord one.
Yeah, I to be fair, have never been Night Fae on my monk. So I have to start that one from, I was 40, but.
Do you remember I talked about the Night Fae Hearthstone?
Yes.
So in order to use the Night Fae Hearthstone, you need to be renowned 80 or currently Night Fae. Gotcha. So after I finish Necrolord, I'm going to go be leveling up my renown on Night Fae.
Nice. Nice. Well, yeah, so that's good news about them. At least, again, it seems like they're trying to get ahead of questions that people might have about sort of grind stuff, which is nice. So actually, I didn't even think about it. Yeah, you could grind all your renowns to 80 right now and not have to worry about it. Another, like, quote-unquote catch-up being put in place. So, so cool. All right, so then the sort of the one of the final sections we got here, which is what I titled New Story and Next Thing. So Blizzard gave a bunch of interviews around this. They didn't really talk too much about this in the video. This was mostly coming from a couple of interviews that launched or dropped around this announcement. And some of the biggest stuff that came out of this was essentially by the lead narrative designer. Basically had a quote that said, we set out to plan the Shadowlands story as this drama in three acts. We've intended for Eternity's End to be the culmination of that story. So I guess you can basically infer that 9.2 is the final major story patch of Shadowlands. So take that what you will in terms of like major patches beyond 9.2. I think you and I have both sort of come out and been on record as saying like we think 9.2 is the last major content patch of Shadowlands. The next one beyond that will be the 10.0 or the new expansion release, right? And I think the way that this is worded is it doesn't negate a 9.2.5 coming out, but it sounds like we're not going to get, like, we're going to finish Shadowlands from a story perspective in 9.3. We will do something with the Jailer, and the culmination of that story will set us up for what is 10.0 or where we go in the next expansion.
They left this open enough that I mean, I am hopeful that we're going to get, you know, whether it's a new dungeon or a mini raid, something like that in between 9.2's release and 10.0. Just something to make sure that there's not this like huge content drought between raid release and expansion release. Because you've already had enough content droughts this expansion. Like 9.0 lasted forever. 9.0.5 didn't bring any new content. 9.1.5 did, like, technically didn't bring any new content yet. We're getting the Legion Time Walking stuff in a month. Yep. And we did get the ability to do other Covenant things, but that's not really new content.
Right.
So I am hopeful that we're going to get some kind of minor patch in between raid release and 10.0. That's more than just, you know, hey, here's these like 2 weeks of story quests or something.
Yeah. I also agree. So, I mean, we'll see, but it just sort of, I don't know if it reinforces what we've been saying, but he also went on to say in a different interview that Shadowlands was planned as a total of three chapters before the pandemic. Meaning that like maybe that's a save face thing where like it was always going to be three, but maybe the three chapters were 9.1, 9.2, and 9.3, and he's sort of playing with...
I was wondering about that, because the 9.0 story kind of seems like setting up for...
Yeah.
Like, Denathrius doesn't really tie into the rest of the story. I mean, he kind of does. He's setting things up for the Jailer, but it's still very much like setting things up.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's funny, a lot of the story in 9.0 came from, I feel like... came from like watching cutscenes out of Torghast versus the actual raid stuff, which is like, yeah, interesting. So yeah, so I mean that'll be fun. They've also talked a little bit too about some other characters, right? So like, you know, the fact that Sylvanas and Uther have some sort of interaction, just, you know, based on the fact that Uther also was stabbed by Arthas, also lost a portion of his soul to Frostmourne, also went through the whole Bastion thing. So it'll be interesting to see how those two interact. Of course, you have Sylvanas and Anduin. At some point, they're going to get together. It's interesting in the video, you actually see, I didn't see this at first until someone pointed it out, but Sylvanas is actually in the trailer. And with it's
No armor, just wearing like plain clothes kind of thing.
Exactly. Yeah, like she's in that sort of the part of the cutscene where they show Anduin getting your raid team getting ready to fight Anduin. Yeah, Sylvanas is in the background, which I thought was see what happens there. Like, why is she there and stuff like that? Yeah. Well, I guess you know why she's there, but she's not there ready to battle at all. And then of course you have the Tyrande Sylvanas stuff that has to probably come to some sort of conclusion after their little fight in Ardenweald. And the fact that, yeah, Tyrande and like, was it Alun left her right as she was about to kill Sylvanas. So yeah, lots of story stuff to wrap up in 9.3. But it sounds like that'll be, or sorry, 9.2. But yeah, this will be the final story patch, which I mean, to me, like that almost, yeah, I think maybe we get something small in 9.2.5, but there's no way we get a full-fledged 9.3. Like, it just doesn't, does not make sense. So
no, I would not be surprised to see a Ruby Sanctum kind of thing, or a, you know, here's your troll patch, you know, here's a couple dungeons featuring one zombie kind of thing, which would be cool. That would be cool.
Yeah.
But nothing like a full 9.3 new zone, new raid patch.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And then so around story two, I guess one of the questions that was asked of Ian, which I thought was interesting about story, which was basically talking about essentially the fact that there are all these other mediums which like story occurs in, right? Like you have the books, to your point, the comic you mentioned earlier, things like that, right? And, you know, basically the question is like, it's very difficult or could be very difficult for people to follow along the story if they're not willing to like pay additional money for like books or things outside of the game if they just want to play the game.
I think the most noteworthy example of this is the transition from MOP into WOD, where Garrosh ending up in Warlords is really only explained in the book. In game, there's no real connective tissue that explains how Garrosh gets to Draenor, Alt-Universe Draenor, and why what he's doing there. You just kind of go from killing Garrosh at the end of Hellfire Citadel, or capturing Garrosh at the end of Hellfire Citadel, or not Hellfire, Siege of Orgrimmar, to, hey, look, he's in Alt-Draenor now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and I think the other example, too, they gave was when Karen Bloodhoof was killed by Garrosh also.
Off screen,
they call it. Yeah, so that was, yeah. So, and basically, I think Ian sort of gave the response of saying that, like, look, they want major story beats, if they're going to occur in-game somewhere, whether that's through a cutscene or through questing or through some sort of in-game event. And basically the books and all the other media around the game serve as like, you know, additional like just information or maybe a deep dive into it. But he says the major story points should always occur in game moving forward. And he basically sort of explains even further to say like the elements that come from the books or other areas shouldn't be crucial to understanding the main story, which I, to be fair, I sort of agree with him. Sometimes the story like nowadays is just so like sometimes convoluted that I'd rather just read a book, right? But I don't want to read a book in game. I want to read a book on my own
and
time.
That's a presentation issue, honestly. Like,
yeah.
So I don't want to. Final Fantasy story is more complicated and involved than the story of WoW. Uh-huh. And it's also clearer to the player because they do a better job of presenting it. And that's really just like, there's no reason that the WoW story has to be confusing, as simple as it is. It's just, you know, presented poorly. In some cases also written poorly, but mostly just presented poorly.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's difficult to sometimes follow, but I mean, that's all... all on the story side of things. It's I'm like, to be fair, I think I'd say this that I don't really care about the story, but I am interested to see how we transition out of Shadowlands. I think the whole like story beats in between like today and what 10.0 is are like, they're like interesting to me, but the more interesting point is like, what is our transition back out of Shadowlands going to look like? Because to be fair, when they did it with Cataclysm, or sorry, not Cataclysm, but with Warlords of Draenor, right, into, it was a Legion, right?
Yeah.
It was like, oh, we were gone for a while and the world went to shit. And like, now we have to come back and save it because a bunch of demons are showing up.
Right. Well, there was also like, we fought, what was it, Archimonde at the end of WoD.
Yeah, I pushed him back.
And that's how all universe Gul'dan ended up back on Azeroth.
Oh, right. And all universe Gul'dan opened the portal at the Broken Shore. Okay.
Right.
Damn it. There was sort of a ticking and tying there. I'm an idiot.
There was a tying there. Like the really big one that didn't make any sense was Mop into WoD.
You're right, because I think in my head, I just thought he just escaped, right? That's all that happens, is he just escapes. Yeah.
There's actually a cutscene when you kill Archimonde, I'm pretty sure, where they like drag Gul'dan through a portal or something.
Well, no, I mean like the Mop to WoD was like, oh, yeah. Garrosh just escapes.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, I know the Archimonde one. I know that he basically jumps through the portal first and then gets back to Azeroth first and then like does his thing, but... Yeah. I thought in the WoD one, maybe I just read this, was it he just escaped? Like that was the reasoning that he got away.
That was like, yeah. I mean, that like was
the Alliance were just
before later learning that he was basically teleported to Ult Draenor by, you know.
Wait, what?
By what? Garrosh was teleported to or taken to Ult Draenor by one of the Bronze Dragonflight.
What? Wait, no? Wait, seriously?
Yeah, that happens in the book and not in the game.
So in my head, like, that's so crazy because I had thought the story was he just, like, the Alliance, like, because who wanted to save him? I forget. Most of the Horde people just wanted to kill him. But, like, the Alliance people were like, no, we're going to put him stand trial. And Thrall was like, yeah, we'll let him. And I thought the Alliance was just incompetent and let him escape. And then he ran through the night and, like, jumped through, like, some sort of portal. And it was like, ta-da! Like, I thought that's how it... Okay, so it's not how it happened. Cool. I know. Awesome.
And that's what I'm saying. That's why the book explains, like, oh, yeah, this bronze dragon that is heavily implied or outright stated to be, like, connected to the Infinite Dragonflight takes him to Ult Draenor.
Interesting, yeah.
And then Garrosh kills him.
Okay, interesting. Well, none of that occurred in my mind. I just thought he was
in game, so it's not surprising.
Interesting. Well, all right. Well, Ian's basically saying none of that should ever happen again, and most of the major story beats will be hit inside the game, which I guess it'll be good. So I won't miss out on how things happen or why things happen, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
Cool. So I think the only other final thing outside of story before I did want to spend a little bit of time on your thoughts, like how you're thinking, right, is there was one PvP related item that came out that I actually think is important to sort of touch on in that they're basically adding a new solo queue PvP mode. So it's still a ranked mode.
It's a brawl. It's a brawl.
So yeah, sorry, PvP brawl. But it's meant to basically, I think, allow players who only solo queue into 3v3 arenas to gain some sort of rep, conquest, rating. Things like that from PvPing solo in what is traditionally a coordinated or, you know, grouped piece of content, right? And so the way it works is basically you queue into a 3v3 arena and you basically fight a series of matches with each one being a different combination of players. So you think six players are in there, you basically fight one match with each of those six different types of combinations. So, and at the end of it, it's essentially whoever wins the most as the individual player, whichever player is a part of the most winning teams gets like the most ranking up from that thing, right? Which I think it'll be interesting to see how the community engages with this, because like anytime I've seen, like, so been playing a lot of Forza lately, and Forza has a mode where you can queue into like five straight matches and like five straight races, and at the end of it, whoever scores the most points wins. Normally, after the second race, if people have lost a bunch, they just leave, right?
Yep.
And they're done. So I'm wondering if this also becomes an issue with this mode in that, like, as soon as you go down or, like, someone loses two in a row, you just leave because you're like, well, I'm not going to come back and do this, right? But
yeah,
we'll see. It is an interesting idea to, like, get a solo queue-based, like, taking a bunch of people who are queuing solo into a traditional like team-based or coordinated thing, how it plays out, particularly in PvP. So
it's really interesting because, like, if you compare to something like League of Legends or Dota, you know, those have a solo queue that works in part, like, it works around the comp issue by the fact that you set up your comp as part of the match. Like, you get queued into a thing where you pick your heroes and then you go in with that comp. That doesn't quite work with WoW. So kind of right now, the instead of queuing into something where you set up your comp, you're expected to figure out your comp beforehand. Like, you're outside of the arena, you find somebody in Party Finder, and then you queue with them. So this way of, like, instead of trying to solve the comp problem, they're just going to have it be round robin. Like, everybody pairs with everybody, everybody fights everybody, and, you know, take the best at the end. I am concerned about the same thing that you are, that, like, people are just going to leave, you know. Someone's going to go O2 drop, and the rest of the people, like you can't do it with five.
Yeah, exactly.
So
we'll see.
Maybe extra penalties if you leave early, you know, like, yeah, if you lose twice as much for leaving early than you stay in.
Yeah, or like you just can't queue it. Like, I think that's the one thing that Blizzard probably needs to put in place here is like a timeout, basically, where, like, and like an, I mean, like, yeah, a, but like in a, like, more than just, say, 15-minute or 30 deserter debuff. Like, this is like, hey, you can't, because you've left so much, you now are in, like, Dota does this with, like, low priority queues, right? Where, like, you basically get put into a group of people who are queuing who are just also, we'll say, like, shitty individuals, right? That, like, leave early or grief their teammates or whatever it is. And that's who you get to play with now, because you also did that. So have fun still doing the activity, but being with a bunch of other people who are just sort of rude, right?
Yeah. Or just like the way League does it, you know, if you leave a bunch, you get a 24-hour ban. If you continue doing it, it escalates 3 days, a week, a month, you know, until you either stop or quit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but I think this is a good start. Good, interesting new thing. I don't PvP. I'm never going to do this, but I think this is cool for people who, like, want to solo and sort of gain some rating. So, so cool. I think that, I don't know if there's any other, I think we hit on, I guess the only thing we didn't talk about, which really was just a thing we thought was going to come anyway, I think, was that Tazavesh will be a Mythic Plus dungeon in 9.2 split in two. So there'll be two portions of it now.
Some of the trash in there is going to be a nightmare.
Yeah, some of the boss fights. Just saying that now. The final boss fight before where the split is, right? The final boss fight before you go up and go through, like, the different time zones, that ball, the wall boss, whatever that boss is called, that boss is trashed here.
Yeah. That's going to be the first boss of the first instance, right? Probably.
No, it should be the last boss of the first instance.
Or sorry, last boss of the first instance.
Yeah. That's what I would assume. I think that's where the split ends up being. Yeah.
That's going to be crazy. You're going to get 40 minutes into this key. You're going to go up against that last boss, and you're going to be 80 minutes into the key, and it's not going to be dead yet because people can't jump over the walls.
Or you're just not going to get any of the hard abilities, and you're going to kill it in 20 seconds after you lost when the second split comes up, right? And then it's just like, oh, that was easy. So that boss is RNG trash. Sorry. I hate that boss.
At least it's going to be better. Like, we're not going to be doing the bosses on hard mode, so we're not going to have the triple technique. It's just going to be two kicks instead.
That's true. So cool. I think that was the only other final thing, unless you had anything else.
No. Kind of curious. What are your overall thoughts here?
I mean, it's new content, it's new stuff. I think I'm, you know, always excited about stuff like this. I think a lot of the getting in front of the catch-up systems, I think, is cool because we know they're coming anyway. So being a little bit upfront is, like, nice to know that they're thinking about that stuff. The raid's the raid. Tier sets are, like, a lot of this is, like, cool. But the bigger thing to me, that, like, the more interesting part of this to me is going to be, like, all right, they're going to put this stuff on PTR. How are they going to react to feedback, right? Like, how are they going to react to, like, players coming in and being like, this doesn't work, or, like, this grind is ridiculous, or, like, the fact that you're making me jump through these four hoops to get this thing, right? But I mean, I don't know. Like, WoW has become so formulaic in the way that it releases content that, like we've gone through this in 9.1, right? There's a new rep to grind. There's a new zone to go in and grind that rep. there are new buttons to unlock or things to unlock from that rep. And then there's a 10 boss, or in this case, an 11 boss raid instance to go kill. So like, cool, that's your point X or, you know, whatever it is, patch. You nailed it, Blizzard. So
yeah,
I mean, the zone, it's like, personally, the zone to me looks cool. I think it'll be fun to run around that. Like I said, I love Destiny as a game. I get a ton of Destiny vibes from it. So for me, at least aesthetically, it'll be fun to run through. But I mean, I'm more interested in number one, the boss fights, and which we haven't been able to see at all. And number two, you know, what class changes are they making, right? Like, what are they tuning?
Are they trying to?
No. Although everyone asked that. It's like, I tweeted it, Lab, one of the vets, and Jack were tweeting back and forth about the fact that, like, literally, like, as soon as they were like, double legendaries come out, people were just like, so they're nerfing Venthyr, right? They're just nerfing Sinister Teachings, right? I'm like, what happened to Mistweavers? Like, people point to like the corruption nerfs, but like, this would have been something that happened even before that in like Legion. Like, people are like, Mistweaver just is too, like, Mistweaver got something good about to be nerfed. I'm like, ugh. So, but yeah, no, I think class changes in the raid will be fun. So, I don't know. Yeah. What are your thoughts?
I am cautiously optimistic. I think the most interesting thing for me is the change in how tier sets are required. And I'm really curious about the implementation of that. Like, how long is it going to take us to unlock the ability to make tier pieces? How much currency is it going to require to do that? How are they going to handle the drop rates of tier pieces from the vault for different content? You know, all these things that they have the opportunity to demonstrate learning from the mistakes that they've made, that they could completely fuck up as well. So we'll see. I think to your point, yeah, it's pretty much as expected. Like, there's not really anything here that really surprised me other than the tier pieces being something that come from other forms of content as well. Yeah. And so for me, kind of the really interesting things that once we get PTR are going to be the bosses and the actual implementation of some of this stuff, like the tier piece acquisition, the new legendary acquisition from the zone. And of course, whether the zone is better than the awful zones that we've gotten this expansion so far.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Yeah. I think that's it's the formula right nowadays. So I wish they need to change that formula. I think it's been,
I don't know that they do, other than the rep grind. The rep grind can go, but I do think that they would benefit from like an AB patch cycle. Like, again, Final Fantasy uses, where you've got your patch for raiders and your patch for everybody else, your patch for raiders, your patch for everybody else. Like, you've got your raid patch that comes with a raid, comes with new story quests, and that's basically the patch. And you've got this other patch that is going to come out with something else. You never know what. It might be, like, over the course of Shadowbringers, they came out with a new, like, big thing for crafters where they, like, rebuilt the city. And then they also came out with like a new kind of solo zone for you to do, to grind your relic. And there, it's also formulaic. Like, you know, it's going to be like the X dot. I don't remember. I think it's the even numbered patches have raids, and the odd numbered ones are like whatever.
Gotcha.
But it's also, and there's also other bits of the formula. Like, you know, there's going to be a relic quest line that is very grindy, that is for people that want either the transmog or that want the eye level on the weapons but don't want to raid. So it's still very formulaic, but it's got this wild card in it that's built into it. And that's something that I think WoW could use, is they've got this very formulaic patch cycle, but they're missing that wild card to keep things interesting.
Gotcha.
Also, the patch cycle is way too long. Like, 8 months for a patch is crazy.
Yeah. I think, and that's the only reason I think they need to change it up, is like, they can, like, to me, getting the zone out there and starting to grind the rep would be something that I'd rather see earlier than like if it was between like pushing everything out together in 8 months, or like they get the zone out in 3, they get the raid out in 6, and then like whatever, like that would be a better system to me. That's all I'm saying, is that from like a Cadence perspective, I would be much happier with something like that, like the the Wrath was probably like the last time they really did something like that, right? Where it wasn't like every, well, I guess no, Wrath was every major patch came with like a raid. So it was just like they were quicker and sometimes smaller and sometimes didn't make sense, like having Trial of the Grand Crusader.
Yeah.
Right outside of ICC where we're supposed to kill each other, but, you know, therefore increasing Arthas's army, but actually trying to make ourselves stronger to fight him did not make sense. But in any event.
I do think that that's really the big thing for them to improve on for next expansion. Like, one of the big things is just the patch cycle. Get more patches out with less time between them.
Yeah. And even if they're smaller.
But they need to happen more frequently. Like, imagine if we had gotten, you know, Korthia without the rift or something, just Korthia in March or February. And then had that along with Tazavesh. And then in July, when we actually got it, we get the rift part of Korthia along with the raid.
Yeah.
And the rest of the campaign quests or whatever. That also would have kind of fixed the campaign quest issue with the story and the raid, because we would have done that part already.
Yeah, caught up. But, quicker patch, I think, is always cool. So we only have 5 more minutes. I did have one other question, and it's more of like a one like looking to the future. So my question is, and a lot of people have been speculating, like in a lot of the channels I've been in, people talk about the story post 9.2, basically the 10.0 story.
Right.
And what does 10.0 look like to you? So like from a story perspective, as we wrap this up and we leave the Shadowlands, like what do you think that transition looks like? Is it a world reset on the other side? Like, we've been gone in the Shadowlands for so long, learned about the afterlife. Do we come back and like the jailer somewhat succeeds and we start back at like 30 years ago? Like, is the world reset? Yeah. Like, do we get to make those changes? Or is it just like, I guess, yeah, that's the question. Is like, do you, like, what do you see 10.0, at least the initial opening of it, look like?
I think we're getting another Draenor kind of expansion. Another Outland or Draenor, or like it's going to be some other, you know, I think that would be my guess. It's way less crazy and ambitious than, you know, oh, Azeroth is totally different now. We're remaking Azeroth. Like,
yeah,
it's way less ambitious than that. It, like, I don't think it would have made sense for them to spend all the time that they did, like, revamping the leveling experience to let you go through all the other expansions to just turn around and like, oops, we're remaking Azeroth again.
Yeah.
In order to do this kind of like reset storyline. So that's my reasoning. I think we're going to get some kind of like other planet kind of thing, like Outland, like Draenor. But we could also come back and, you know, people always speculate about, you know, what's on the other side of Azeroth kind of thing.
Yeah.
We could also come back. I wouldn't be too surprised to have it be something that's like, oh, you know, we come back and like the Black Empire has risen because Nizoth tricked us and, you know, the laser beam didn't actually kill him. So I wouldn't be too surprised about that. But
yeah, I mean, I would like to see a reset of the world again. Like,
I would go like back to see us with a fucking sword in the world.
Yeah, like get rid of the sword, like maybe finally fix Stormwind after Deathwing came through. Maybe the big hole in the middle of the Barrens. Yeah, a little bit of it.
Okay.
A little bit. There's still the big hole in the middle of the Barrens. Like, we could have filled that in over the past 10 years or so. So yeah, I mean, I think it maybe doing something. The problem, and the problem with that, and it's the same reason that Cataclysm, I think, is not a well-liked expansion, is that the zones that they put in into Azeroth were like all over it. It wasn't like one big continent. I think for whatever reason, players, and I'll probably be in the same boat as this, is like, you like that new landmass to be like where you go and do your thing, right?
Yeah.
So that's why I think you're right. But
I did really like Cataclysm as like a casual player. Cataclysm was a lot of fun. I do not like the complete like removal of all the old zones. That is something that really,
yeah.
So I'm there with you.
Yeah, so we'll see. I'm interested to see how they tell the story as we leave Shadowlands. Like,
okay, here's a completely off the wall one, and if I get this right, then I should get a prize or something, because this is complete nonsense. Okay,
we'll have to write this down.
Okay, so next expansion,
okay,
it's gonna be about we're gonna go back to Azeroth. And instead of it being old gods or dragons or anything like that, it's going to be the elementals. We're going to be dealing with stuff in Deepholm from the Plane of Fire, stuff like that, that we haven't touched since Cataclysm. And that, the sword in the world has fucking pissed off because we've done nothing about it.
Interesting. So you think it's basically like the elements of Azeroth will rise up? I could see that. I could get behind that. Interesting. Yeah.
Completely, I think it'll completely off the wall, completely random, no basis in reality. If I get it right, I win a prize.
I think that'd be cool. I think you're onto something though. That it's going to be we've been gone a while, and a faction back on Azeroth has gotten upset with us and is now coming. It could be elementals. Could be.
Yeah,
Black Empire. Is that the Black Empire, like the Silithid people, right? Like
the, yeah, that's the old god stuff. Yeah, but we in theory have killed every old god on Azeroth at this point.
In theory. But yeah, it could be, maybe it's the, what is the, what was the one in Wrath that everybody gets upset that they never put in? Like the Nerubian people.
Yeah.
That whole like underground bug thing.
Yeah.
Bring that back.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I'm down. The elementals would be cool, but I think it's definitely going to be a like, hey, we've been gone for a while and people screwed some stuff up back home. So, but cool. Awesome. That was just my one thing about like talking about the future, about if we see anything crazy happening next expansion. So,
yeah. But I think that brings us to the end of the time we've got for today's episode. So thank you all for watching and or listening. I hope you enjoyed it. And if you did enjoy it and you want to support this podcast and all of the work that we do over on the Peak of Serenity, you can do that over on our Patreon at patreon.com/peakofserenity. And of course, as always, we invite you to come and join our Discord. The Brew Lounge channel in the Discord is the best place to discuss tanks in general, best place to talk monk stuff in general, because let's be honest, Brewmaster is the most important spec of the class. And Mist Lounge is full of people that are playing Venthyr. So,
best covenant ever.
Yeah. Nah. But yeah, that's it for the show today. Thank you all for listening, and we will see you next week.
Bye.